From the studios of Radio Sai at Prashanti Nilayam, I am Chandu Vijay and this is Love to Love. And today we have a talk by Sri Neeraj Acharya, who is currently the manager of the Sri Sathya Sai General Hospital here in Prashanti Nilayam. And the topic of his talk is Dharma. And he presents some very interesting ideas based on his reading of Bhagwan's Dharma Vahini. This talk was delivered in the Satsang Hall here in Prashanti Nilayam on the 9th of November 2016. Stay tuned, dear listeners, interspersed, and after the talk, we have some beautiful bhajans from the album Bhavanjali Volume 2, produced by the Sri Sathya Sai Media Division under the banner of Sai Blossom. And at 3:30 p.m., we have the live Telugu segment, Sri Sathya Sai Divya Sandesha Jhari. For now, over to Sri Neeraj Acharya.
Om Shri Sai Ram. Sai Ram to all the elders and madams. And first, on behalf of all of you, I offer my prayers to our beloved Bhagwan, most dearest one who is not seen, but always there in the heart of each one of us. And as he used to say every time, intane ventane chentane untanu, I am around you, above you, below you, behind you, which has become so real now that we can't see him, but he is there every moment. Whenever we remember, we know that he is there, but he is there even if we don't remember. So such a beautiful, wonderful Lord who is enshrined in our hearts, with salutations to him and salutations to all of you in whom the Swami, our beloved Swami, resides. Sometime back, once during some interaction with a group of about 30 people, Swami put this question: what is the important, the main message of Bhagavad Gita? And there were some seniors and some students, and we said different things. Karma yoga is something which is prescribed, and even other types of even bhakti yoga, sankhya yoga also Lord Krishna talks about, and so many things came up. Swami said, no. Finally, in the end, Swami said, the message is very simple. Two words. Simple message. And then he said, what is the first verse of Bhagavad Gita? Dharma kshetre kuru kshetre. And the last verse of Bhagavad Gita ends with matir nitir mama. So he said, if you take the first word of the first verse and the last word of the last verse, so it is dharma and mama. These two words, if you put together, it is mama dharma. If you understand what is mama dharma, your dharma, my dharma, the actual meaning is my dharma. If you understand that, you have understood the whole significance, message of Bhagavad Gita. So today, for the topic, when this thought came, I thought maybe this could be a good topic for all of us to elaborate. I am as much a spiritual pilgrim on the path as much as you are. Maybe some of you are much more advanced. So today we'll explore, all of us will explore what this probably what it means, mama dharma, my dharma, what does it mean? I will definitely love, in all the interaction I always tell this, that I will love if people can contribute, if they have something to add or something which I say you feel is not correct, you can always tell, and it will be a useful thing for all of us. My attempt will be to tell something which I have heard from Bhagawan, or at least I have read from what Bhagawan has said. However, having said that, some of that may be based on certain afterthought and some deliberation. So if that comes, and if you have something to add to it or something you feel needs to be modified, please feel free. It will be a learning experience for all of us. So dharma, it's a very widely quoted subject, right? Dharma, very often people use. What you feel, what is dharma? Any thoughts on that? Dharma, what is dharma? Any thoughts on that? Right action. Right action, wonderful. Anything else? Huh? To give something. Okay, oh, dharma. Okay, wonderful. Okay. Follow our conscience. Wonderful. Great. Anybody else? Something that you want to add or you, what you are, maybe some of you have read or heard from Bhagavan. What is dharma? Way to liberation. Fantastic. Yeah. Most of it, whatever said, according to whatever I have read about this topic is what Swami has said. Just to start with, I feel, I think what one thing we should be clear about is what dharma is not. We'll start with that and come to what dharma is. Dharma, another particular way it is addressed in general public, dharma is religion. In this context, it has nothing to do with religion. They say, my dharma is Hindu dharma, Christian dharma. So in today's context, or even when Swami always referred to dharma, he never spoke from the context of religion. In fact, for Swami, religion really didn't matter. As used to say, there is only one religion, the religion of love. Whatever religion, so-called religion that we follow, is based on the same fundamental principle of love. So he always said, what dharma per se, what Swami preached, spoke about and lived, was nothing to do with religion. So that's something I thought we should keep it aside, not for this discussion and not for such discussion on dharma. Then in that case, what is dharma? I mean, little bit some sharing of thoughts on what Swami has said and what... One interesting thing which Swami mentioned is that typically in the spiritual context, dharma can be classified into two types. One, he said, Atma Dharma, or sometimes it is also referred to as Swadharma. And the second type B is Achara Dharma, sometimes called as Paradharma. And the difference, he said, we'll come to that. He has explained very beautifully. And when I read through a few things which Swami has said, and then remembering what he has told on dharma, it reveals so many things. Sometimes when we read Swami's talks or discourses again and again, new things open up every time. And so it was a good satsang for me, reading Swami's either writing. Swami has written a book on dharma, of course, as you would know, Dharma Vahini. Fantastic, so well written, concise book. I thought if we read that book and make one page summary, then nothing else can be spoken about dharma other than what is given in that. Beautifully written. I had read it before, but I just read it last week, just to see what, just to refresh my memory, and it was a fantastic experience. If you have time, I will request some of you to read it whenever you get time. So, Swadharma Paradharma, Swami said that one thing needs to be clarified. Many people have defined Swadharma as something like, I would say, my dharma. And Paradharma is something that is in the context of the world. Swami's definition of Swadharma was, it's nothing to do with the world. He always spoke from the point of view of our ultimate reality. So he said, Swadharma, that Swa belongs to the God or the Atma which is within us. And I will come to that later. It's a very, very fundamental and very, very deep concept. Swami's every message revolve around that, whether it is concept of love or satyam, truth. Truth is a very, very insufficient word to describe truth, satyam. Satyam is such a deep, English language fails to some extent in that. So whether it is satyam or prema, love, everything stemmed around what our core spiritual reality is. And he came, once Swami made this beautiful statement, I think I should mention here. He said that, I always speak about dharma because that is the work with which I have come. I have taken this avatar for dharma samsarpanartha. That's what he said. Dharma samsarpanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. So every time, whatever I do, whatever I tell, I talk only about dharma. Because that is the purpose for which I have taken this avatar. And I can't say anything other than dharma. So, coming to, he said that while Atma Dharma is very, very important, and that is the fundamental basis, Achara Dharma also has its own importance. And what is Achara Dharma? Is what is expected out of each of us individual in the life, in whatever roles we have. Each one of us may have different roles in different context. As a father, maybe as a brother, as a son of a mother, what your role to the mother, to the father, what your role is. As a father, what is your role towards your children? Or as a person working with the organization, what is your role in the organization? And finally, what is our role in the context of the spiritual master? If we are his disciples, the seeker of the truth that he came to speak about, then what is our role as his disciples? So everywhere, for everything, there are certain guidelines given, which are given as achara dharma, how we should conduct. And that's where right conduct comes, as one of the brothers rightly mentioned. Right conduct in every role that is assigned to us in our life. And in that sphere, I thought we should spend some time before going to it. The statement which one Swami made regarding his is, naturally, I always speak of dharma, for I have come to establish it. I have no other work. I give sweet drinks to the ignorant and nectar or amruta to the illumined. What a beautiful, I like this last sentence. I give sweet drink, maybe like a sherbet, cola, to the ignorant, and I give nectar or amruta to the illumined. Somebody who seeks amruta, I give amruta. Somebody who seeks just to quench his more regular thirst, I give. And that's what we have seen, even Swami. Many people used to ask different questions, seek different clarifications. And he will many times solve even regular, simple worldly issues. People ask their advice. Simple. Be it in their family matters or in the work matters, anything. So he was a guru who came to give the highest wisdom. But when we sought a soft drink, he would give soft drink. If we sought amruta, he will give amruta. So that's one sentence which we need to keep in mind. And I felt what he meant by I gave to give sweet drink to the ignorant is something of can be related to the achara dharma. What is our dharma in all the different roles, the righteous conduct which is expected out of us in the world. And whereas when it comes to nectar or amruta, it is the actual reality for which he came. He said that I have come to give, you should desire what I have actually come to give. He used to say that. And another quotation which I am sure all of you have heard, but I thought you should just recapitulate it today. He said that satya is what I teach, dharma is the way I live, shanti is the mark of my personality, and prema is my very nature. And actually we can talk a lot about each of those, but today I won't go into that. But I'll just tell you one small incident in something related to this. Once in one of our assembly sessions, students and teachers along with Bhagwan, there was a session about 400 of us students, and Swami and some guests had come. And one student, who also became a teacher later on, he spoke on that day. Swami had told him to speak, and he made this statement. He said that Swami doesn't follow dharma. Swami doesn't follow dharma. Swami doesn't speak truth. And there was a hushed silence, something like this. And all of us wondering, what does he mean? And even the teachers and the principal was wondering, what is something wrong with this chap, maybe? This is a sentence he used. Swami doesn't follow dharma. Swami doesn't speak truth. And then he made a statement which I will never forget in my life. He said, whatever Swami does is dharma. And whatever Swami speaks is truth. I'm telling you, all of us shivered that day when I heard that statement. It requires guts to make that statement in presence of Bhagwan, but it has such a deep message. Of course, that is probably valid only for somebody like Avatar, because his whole being is suffused in love and truth. He is a person, as he said, his life was full of love, his every action was full of dharma. So that's what he said, whatever Swami does is dharma, and whatever Swami speaks is truth. And it literally happens. I think it happens because such divine personality. I can tell you one incident in my own life. And there are some relevance to today's topic also. I studied in Swami's college for 2 years, 1995 to 1997. And I went out. Swami asked me to work outside, so I went outside the country for working. And this happened in 1999, when I was working abroad. And my brother was studying here at that point of time, in Parthi. He had finished his studies and he was working here. Swami had given him an assignment, a work here. And that year, 1999, in the month of April, or May, in the month of May, Swami went to Mumbai. My parents live in Mumbai. And there in Dharmakshetra, Swami's residence, there's a small ground, and Swami had called for a small private audience, about 100 people. And my parents were invitees to that session. And my father had retired from the regular work, but he used to do some service in another organization. And I have seen he is a Karma Yogi from beginning. So that day when my mother called him up to say that I have got a message that we have to go and attend this particular function, Swami has invited, he says, today the senior person has not come, I am alone, I can't come. He didn't come. He said, I have to be in the office. And my mother knew that once he is committed to work, he will not come. So she went alone. And she was in the small ground next to Swami's residence in Dharmakshetra, Bombay. And Swami came out, and Swami saw her and said that, husband kidhar hai? So she said, Swami, he has gone for kaam ke liye gaye hai aur chutti nahi mili. He has gone for work, he couldn't get leave today. I know. Devotion to duty, Swami said. Good. And then, akela aaya, you come alone? Then she had no answer to say that. Then Swami said, tumra boys bhi nahi aaya, your sons have also not come. She didn't say anything. Then Swami made this statement, next time jab aata hai, tabhi dono boys ko leke aata hai. Next time jab aata hai, dono boys ko leke aata hai. This was in May 1999. A day or two later, when my brother called me up to tell me this, or my mother called me up to tell me this, I should say honestly, in Swami's presence, I felt Swami was just trying to pacify my mother. That now both of us were not there with her, and my father also couldn't come. She was alone, so Swami wanted to pacify, and he said, "No, oh, you are alone this time. Next time I come, I will bring both the boys." That is really honestly the thought which came to me, which I didn't tell her, of course, but that's what I was in my mind. And in 2001, Swami gave me opportunity to come back and join here in his service. And time passed by and we just forgot about that incident completely. 2009, suddenly, I remember I was in Whitefield for some work, and somebody called me from Puttaparthi and told me that Swami is planning to go to Harshi to inaugurate the temple. Beautiful temple which is made in Harshi. And Swami wants to take a group of students. And here Swami had started selecting also. One group he had already selected. That's what is the news I got. I was very happy that was after many years Swami was going to that site. And probably if he goes Harshi, there was also a prayer that he might go to Bombay. So I was happy that Bombay will be blessed again with Swami's presence. After 1 or 2 days when I came, I was sitting in the bhajan group. And that day, suddenly during the bhajans, Swami picked up about 4 or 5 of us, and when he indicated, even I was surprised a bit, I mean, what Swami wants, and he just indicated to go like this. This was on the Ganesh portico where Swami used to sit. Bhajans were in front of him, and he just pointed some people to go. So some of us, we went. And I really didn't know what was that particular thing for. And then Swami called us to the interior room. We were about 12 of us that time. And Swami told that he is going to Hadashi. And music is generally a part of Swami's entourage, generally. So he had called some of us and he, for whatever reasons, chose me also. And he was telling that this is the day we'll go. We are going to start and be ready. And that is about 5 days to go. And he said, be ready and I'll take you. And during that conversation, when he suddenly saw me and said that, where is your brother? So I said, Swami, he's sitting outside. Swami said that he told to the person who was making the, sort of jotting down the names, he told, iske brother ka bhi naam likho, write the name of his brother also. So both of us were included, and I'm telling you that time, even that time somehow it didn't occur to me about what had happened 10 years ago. And later on when we came back to room and when I called up my parents to tell them that Swami has been gracious that he is calling both of us to come to Hadashi and Bombay, I suddenly realized we remembered that incident. Exactly 10 years ago, Swami had said, made the statement, next time aata hai, dono boys ko leke aata hai. And that was the next time, the actual next time, physically, Swami went to Bombay. And we were picked, so to say, really, we were wild card entries, so to say. I don't know, maybe music sometimes he calls, but my brother was said, he was completely surprised when he was also included. But then for Swami, that is never a surprise. Everything is a part of his divine plan, and it just occurred to us how profound Swami each sentence is.
Tune in to Sai. Spend the day with Sai. From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai's Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Welcome back, dear listeners. We are now continuing with the talk by Sri Neeraj Acharya, Manager, Sri Sathya Sai General Hospital in Prashantinilayam on Dharma. This talk was delivered in the Satsang Hall here in Prashantinilayam on the 9th of November 2016. Stay tuned. And I realized that time that it's so true. Whatever Swami says becomes truth. Is truth. It becomes truth. If it doesn't occur to us now, is it truth? It will happen sometime or the other. There's no doubt about that. Just to give a small example, I just remembered since we are in this place. There are these big sheds, the accommodation sheds which have come up on this side of the road. They were made before the 85th birthday. To accommodate. Most of you must have seen there were this small ground floor, one floor sheds which were there, and there was a proposal that we'll make it into multi-storied so that more people can be accommodated. And the plan was taken to Swami that so many sheds, each shed will have so many floors, so many people can be accommodated, and 85th birthday would be a grand festival, so, and as a precursor for 90th birthday, so he said we should be prepared. So the plan was put, and when the plan went to Swami, if I remember, there was at least few buildings which are multi-story also, more than what presently is. Swami said, no, not now. And Swami removed some of the sheds, the ground which is there right next to this, after the shopping complex. It was supposed to have another at least some 3 or 4 sheds. Swami said, no. And the word Swami used was, not now, not now. And that was dropped at the last moment, and only the what is presently there, that row was approved, Bhaktanivas sheds. So Swami has a purpose when he says something, even which may appear sometimes worldly, trivial, or sometimes difficult to believe. But then he being the master of truth and dharma, satya dharma, I feel that he never has to think about something. It just comes spontaneously, and what comes is what is truth. So I just remembered, I thought I should share when I said this sentence. And there are 4 things which today we'll dwell upon. Very important thing which Swami has said about dharma. And of each of those 4 things, which Swami calls as principles of dharma, we'll deliberate shortly on that, and then we'll take it forward. The first one, principle, Swami says, what is dharma? Or how you can identify a particular action or conduct is dharma. The first one he says, one, that which does not inflict pain on you and on others. Joy to others and joy to yourself. This one, if you apply this one sort of a yardstick, measurable, we call in business terms, measurable, if that applies, you can call it into as a dharmic action. Just one thought on this. I will share my personal experience on this.
I told you 1997 when I finished my management course here, I wanted to stay with Swami. When I came here in 1995 to join the course, I told my parents that I'm going to Swami, I'm going to study there, and if you permit, I will work here. I'll work for Swami. And my parents sort of agreed, maybe a little reluctance, but they agreed, fine. And it went on 2 years, and we were all prepared. I was absolutely sure that I'm going to be here after that. And in 97, it so happened, it's a big story, I will not share it now, some other time. Swami, there were about 5 of us in my batch who wanted to stay here. 3 of us, including me, Swami somehow made it a point that he literally sent us away. Literally. I mean, I can tell you that at some point even we sort of had a discussion on whether I should, when I was praying that I should stay here, and Swami said, no, go out, it is good for you. In fact, it came to a point, I remember this was in a small personal interview with parents, and just to give a short plea that what happened, I knew, I had finished my course, this was in month of April in 1997, I knew that Swami is going to take up this topic of where this fellow has to work. So, previous day we had done a rehearsal with my parents, especially my mother, because Swami used to talk a lot to her, and she also talks, likes to talk to him. So I told her, Swami will ask you where this fellow will work, you have to tell that this chap has to be here. I am also going to tell, of course, but you don't deviate, you be firm. Done. We made that plan, strategy ready. Next day morning when Swami called, Swami spoke general things and he came exactly to this topic. MBA ho gaya, abhi aage kya kar sakta hai? So we were prepared with our strategy. Swami, I said, Swami, I want to be with you, I want to serve you. He immediately looked at mother. Kya manage idhar MBA boys ko idhar kaam nahi hai. Kai ko management karta idhar rehta hai, bahar jao kaam karo. She said, no Swami, he has to be here, and my brother who was in that time studying in second year, going to second year, he also has to be here. Mother told, her bid was for both of us at one shot. He has to be here and the brother also has to be here. Then Swami said, no, let him go, work, it will be good, and there is a factory coming up and all those things. It went on that up and down for 10 minutes. A sort of a negotiation. And suddenly at one point, Swami suddenly became serious. I was right next to him, and I actually by the time I was in profuse tears praying to Swami, and at that point Swami became very serious and he said, my hand was on his hand rest and I was just here, and he hit like this on my hand, hey, just listen to what I say, whatever I'm telling is good for you, just follow it. And he made a statement, before saying this, he made a statement, just like how Arjuna told Krishna in the battlefield, Karishye Vachanam Tava, you say that, Karishye Vachanam Tava, do what I say, it is good for you. A big message for me, which I will never forget in my life, and probably for all of us. Karishye Vachanam Tava, Swami said, you say this, Karishye Vachanam Tava, and follow what I'm saying. Okay, going ahead. So I realized that Swami really wanted me to go to another place, and I went there. I was there for, I started working. And whenever there was a chance to interact, whenever I was to come to Puttaparthi, Swami will ask, how is the work going? And I would say to Swami, work is going on fine, but my heart is here. I want to be with you. And Swami will say, I will see later. November 2000, 75th birthday, Swami had called for an audience, and during the interaction again Swami asked this question, how is the work? I said, Swami, work is going on fine, but if you approve, I want to come and serve you. And Swami made this statement, again a very remarkable for me. He said, I never sent you outside. You went because you wanted to go. I just dropped on the floor at that point of time and Swami made it. I didn't send you out away. You went because you wanted to go. And I told Swami, Swami, if that is so, then I'm not going now. I'm very clear. Right now, I will drop my papers and I will quit. Buddhi ledo, Swami said. How can you do like that? You can't just drop like that. You're taken, leave and come. You can't just leave like this, the organization. Go back and I will tell you. Little later. That's what he said. I will call you later. And then I went and it really did happen that in month of April, Swami gave a message through my brother. He cleared, finally approved that I should come back. And I came here in June, 31st May rather, 31st May 2001. That was my last working day. And later on I realized my first working day in that organization was exactly 1st June 1997. And my last working day was 31st May 2001. Day to day 4 years. I don't know how it happened, but it happened. After I came back, for quite some time, Swami, of course, spoke to me after a few days. I think it was 3rd June first he spoke, and then he told me that he will give me some assignment, which he didn't tell where. And in month of July, he placed me in the Central Trust, looking after the medical work, hospitals. And to tell you the background of what has happened, in my organization where I used to work earlier, when I told my superior, he's a very old-time devotee also, and I know that he had requested Swami for many, many years that he wanted Swami's students to work in his institution. And after many years, Swami had placed this batch, three of us, in his company. And Swami at that point of has spoken to us about the work and also to him about what we do, including which departments we should work. When there was a change of department also, Swami approved it. So it was, Swami was so involved in that whole process. So in 2001, when I got a clearance from Swami to come back, of course my understanding was, it is my wish to come here and Swami has approved it. And that understanding even continues now, that we can't take Swami to sort of cover our back. We can take his guidance, but whatever we do, we should take responsibility for that. It's our decision. We take his guidance, but we can't say that, Swami said, so I'm doing. You can't tell this to others. That conviction I can have myself, that I'm doing because Swami told me, but when I do a regular, any worldly activity, I should be convinced why I'm doing that. I can't tell somebody else, Swami has told, so don't argue with me on that. It doesn't work. So when I put down the paper, I was very clear and I told my superior that my wish is to work for Swami and I'm going there. He said that Swami placed you here. Isn't Swami's work here also? You can do from here. It's not necessary to be in Parthi. But I said, I am very clear that I have to go to Prashanti and work there. You can seek clearance from Swami if you want. And somehow he couldn't come earlier. He came in the month of July. That year, 2001. By that time, I was not yet given the assignment. He had come for Guru Purnima. So when I saw him in Prashanti, to tell you, I was really afraid. Because I knew Swami used to talk to him very often. And I knew that he is going to put up a request that, Swami, you gave three boys after a lot of many years of my asking, you gave, now you, please don't pull out. I knew that. And he had told me that I will ask Swami. Whatever Swami said, if Swami approves, you can come back. I have no questions on that. So I knew that, so he is going to ask this to Swami, and I was quite internally sort of, you know, afraid. Oh, what will happen? All the way now I have decided to come, and if Swami says that no, for he wants and you go back, all those monkey mind thoughts were coming. Anyway, Swami called him for the interview, and as he walked in, I am sure he was very happy because Swami called in. I was really, really afraid on the portico, what will happen inside. And Swami spent quite a long time, I remember, some half an hour with him. And he came out. By the time bhajan had started, so I didn't get a chance to talk to him. After the session was over that evening, I went to him and asked him, sir, what happened? And this is what exactly he told me. He said, as Swami started speaking, he spoke about his family first and then his business, Swami inquired, all those things. And then when Swami asked, what are Yema Samacharam, what else that you have to speak or you want to ask? He asked about me, this senior person. The Swami's one sentence reply to that was, he has come to meet his parents. They have come for Guru Purnima. He has come to meet his parents. My parents are really here that time, and physically also. So he has come to meet parents. This is what Swami told. So he said, this person said, when Swami said this, I just couldn't ask anything more than about you. I just mentioned that this boy is here. And Swami's immediate reply was, he has come because he has come to meet his parents. What more he can ask about work? So he said, I couldn't ask anything further, so I dropped the topic and it came off. So your matter is not clear. By the way, 31st May when I said I left and came, actually on the paper I was on leave. Because my superior said that I can't relieve you unless Swami clears. I said, that is your decision, I can't force you anything on that. So I had taken leave, including my own department people. I told them that I have some personal work and I have to go. It may take long time. I actually came on leave on 31st May. So this happened in July, and this person, Mr. X, couldn't get chance to ask Swami about me, so he went back. Another 2 months passed. By the time Swami had told me to join Central Trust here, August 8, 2001, and I joined. So what had happened in the meantime? Next time this Mr. X came was in September. So in the meantime, he knew that Swami has given a work to me. So September when he came, this happened in the portico. If you are familiar with the mandir setup, there is this path behind the Ganesha statue where it was there, where Swami used to walk after interviews, and students will sit on one side and some senior guests and office functionaries will sit on the other side. So Mr. X was sitting here and I was sitting on this side in the staff. One evening, Darshan, after interview, Swami came out and he was walking in that path, and he called this Mr. X. I don't want to put the name because just for privacy purpose. And he was talking to him. And that time I was absolutely calm and cool because I already been given a work, so I know that now more or less things are settled. But how Swami did the whole thing was, I will tell you. So Swami spoke to him something about, I don't know what he spoke. And as he was talking, Swami looked at me from a distance, about 10 feet, and he called, come. And I went ahead, so I was here and Mr. X was here. And Swami told him, see, your boy, now he's working for me in the Central Trust. He's looking after the hospitals. So that was like a final stamp, so to say, on my visa, coming back to India, or coming back to Swami. And that was a day, exactly, 14 September 2001, I was actually relieved from that particular institution. Now, why I am saying this is, if you ask me as a, in the role of a manager or a CEO, for somebody to handle such a situation, a bit delicate, right? Person A wants to come back, leaving particular job, from an institution which has sought him, and now you have to convince the other man to relieve this person A. I didn't know any better way, but I'm telling you, the way Swami managed this, if this conversation had happened in July, probably Mr. X would have asked Swami that, no, Swami, I also have a need. I need, and Swami's student should be working there also, Swami's message, or whatever it is. There could have been some conversation, probably open-ended one, or whatever. I don't know. It could have been something else. But the way Swami managed this whole event, it was a big learning for me. And that's where when I read this sentence, I remembered this event. Joy to others and joy to me. Because after that, I'm telling you, what has happened is, the relationship between all three of us, that is, me, Swami and Mr. X, has been so fantastic. This Mr. X, even now when he comes to Puttaparthi, he makes it a point, he says, at least one day you meet me, we'll just share thoughts about Swami and Swami's message. And we are great friends like we were when I was working for that institution. And that is the way Swami works. Even in a delicate situation, he will do in such a way that he will convey the message, but at the same time, not hurting either party, joy to me, joy to others. A beautiful message. I can never forget. I couldn't find any better way somebody could have done this whole thing so-called, in business parlance, we call it separation, right? Separation of a person from an institution. It's a very crude term, but fine, in a business parlance it works. But the way Swami managed this particular event, it never became a separation. It was a friendly handshake, or sort of, is a agreed sort of a arrangement, fine. I relieve him and you take him. And that relationship continues even now, it's already 15 years after that. Whenever this person comes, we have a very friendly chat. He calls me to his room, we go sit, have a cup of tea and we talk about Swami. He has number of experiences and he also shares about it. So that's the way Swami works, and I felt probably one good example of how Swami defined as dharmic action. Joy to others, joy to yourself, or not to hurt others, not to hurt yourself. Swami didn't compromise on his stand also. If he agreed for my coming, he also ensured that the other person is on the same side. You know, that's a beautiful learning.
Tune in to Sai. Spend the day with Sai. From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Dear listeners, we are now continuing with the talk by Sri Neeraj Acharya, Manager, Sri Sathya Sai General Hospital in Prashanthi Nilayam on Dharma. This talk was delivered in the Satsang Hall here in Prashanthi Nilayam on the 9th of November 2016. Stay tuned.
Then the second, we'll go to the second point. Swami said, another sort of a measurable or a criterion which you can judge whether action is dharmic or not is, make this a very, very commonly said statement but very, very potent and very, very important. Make thought, word and deed in harmony. I don't think Swami, I can't give any better example of this than Swami. And just one thing which I have heard, and probably it is there in some discourses also, we can confirm it. Swami said that when he mentions thought, word and deed, it's not thought in the sense purely the mind, what we talk about. Okay, mind has a lot of chatter. For example, if you say thought, word and deed, just for, if you take to the other extreme, if a terrorist says that I want to destroy a particular, say, locality, that is in my thought, I do it as my action, in my word, I say it will happen, it will be done. That doesn't become dharmic. Swami said two criteria for that. Thought, one is not thought in the sense of what we call from the monkey mind, from the mind. It should be a feeling from the heart. And what somebody said, that conscience. It should be something which your conscience approves. And Swami has said this in the context of dharma. Dharmic action is something which you do without compromise on your conscience. Never fail to give justice to your conscience. Swami said that never fail. Always, if your conscience says no, stick to that. Or your conscience says yes, stick to that. So when we say thought, word and deed, is not just any thought that comes in there, comes to you. That I thought we should clarify that one point. Thought is not anything which comes into your mind. It's something that comes from your heart. And Swami would always say that. It's not the physical heart, it's the spiritual heart, a conscience where God resides. So unity of thought, word and deed. Just one example. A very, very commonly known, but a fantastic example for all the humanity to follow. 23rd November 1990, in the discourse, Swami declared that next year there will be a big super specialty hospital will come in this place, and it will be open on 22nd, and surgeries will happen. I know of some people who were in very senior positions there. It seems they just couldn't believe when Swami declared this it was in Hillview Stadium, public discourse. Said, my goodness, how can it happen? And if you just see the situation at that point of time, Puttaparthi was still much sort of away from town. It was still a village, I would say, till about that time, 91. After that, it has really become a town. There was not even proper connectivity between Bangalore and Puttaparthi. Airport is now here. That time it was much away and smaller airport in Bangalore. In 1990, the import regime was so strong in India, there were so many restrictions, many of the senior people will know. Any equipment imported required a lot of approvals, and it was known fact that projects will take 4 to 5 years because the equipment clearance will take at least 1 year or 2 years. And Swami has declared it will be opened in 12 months. And mind you, even the land was not available at that point of time. The land was sanctioned somewhere in December or January, I understand. And the land was not even. The Bhumi Puja happened in April. And the actual work started in May. May, June, July, August, September, October, November. 7 months. For a super special to come. I think even a house cannot come in 7 months, typically when we do. And in that point of time, when most of the equipment was imported, and the technology was quite new for anybody here, but people say, I have spoken to some people who have worked on that day in and day out, the way they worked, or rather I would say the way Swami inspired them to work, which included his hundreds of visits to that place, hundreds of visits. Almost every day he will go there and see what is happening, what is coming up. Every day to review. If not there, at least he will call the people in the mandir and inquire, what happened today? I can tell you, this has happened to one of our old students. I mean, how detailed Swami goes into. He had finished his studies and he was in Bombay at that point of time. And he had come for darshan. And this was, I think, in August of 1990. So another few months for inauguration. Swami on the portico spoke to him, or rather, no, he called, Swami called him inside the interview room, and Dr. Safaya, who was supposed to be the director, first director, who was looking after the whole project, was inside the interview room, along with some 2-3 senior doctors looking after the implementation, coming of the project. And Swami said, Safaya, you mentioned about those medical forms which are required. This boy, he has his own printing press in Bombay. You give all the forms to him, he will get it printed. It was indeed done. Safaya sir drafted all the forms, gave it to him, and it was ready for at the time of opening. To that detail, it's not just the plan of the building, the chandelier or the equipment. Even a simple so-called medical forms, Swami will go into that. So anyway, well, the point is that with Swami's personal involvement, apart from his spiritual blessings, personal involvement and the dedication of all the staff, volunteers, sevadal, they may have toiled, I understand, some of them who have done day in and day out. And one of my student brothers who studied with me, I was not here that time, of course, but he was that time a student. He tells me, he's in the Vedam group. So, for about last 15 days or so, the students were called the whole day to do service there, in batches, cleaning, whatever, shifting of some items, along with other people. So he says on 21st November, he had been there, and there is so much work to be done. Next day morning, Prime Minister is going to come to inaugurate, and so many things to be done. I mean, everybody wondered how it will happen. But anyway, their batch ended at some 8 o'clock in the evening or something, and they went back, and somebody else, another batch of students came. He said, next day morning, I was called for Vedam, as a part of Vedam batch. So I went there at 5:30 or whatever. And he said, when I went there, I just couldn't believe my eyes. Whole path was spick and span. Everything, including decoration, patakas, because Prime Minister coming, everything was decorated. And he said, one thing which I couldn't believe was, previously I had worked on one big patch of land in front of the hospital, where there was mud lying around and we just leveled it. Next day morning there was grass on that. He said, this is unbelievable. How can it just happen? But anyway, sometimes the divine takes over. And come to this, it happened that on 22nd November morning, Prime Minister came at 10 o'clock and the whole thing was opened. Four surgeries were done on that day. So, thought, word and deed. Swami declared, ensured that it comes in action. But there's a message which I want to share. It's a very important thing which I learned. Is this I have not read from Swami's literature, but this I have picked up from another institution where it is said, and I felt it was very, very applicable in the context of this thought, word and deed and dharma. The concept is called honoring your word. You are your word. And when in this context, when I say you, or say I am my word, is the personality. It's not going to the spiritual dimension. The achara dharma that Swami said. It says that you are your word, and you must honor your word. And I'll just briefly tell you what this is, and I felt it is very, very important in achara dharma, in our day-to-day conduct in the life. What it says is, honoring your word is different from keeping your word. It's different. Sometimes keeping your word may not be possible all the time. Sometimes there are some situations which are beyond your control. It may happen. You might try everything and it may not happen. But then still you respect your word. And what you do if you are not able to keep up that word, then you tell the concerned person or persons, yeah, fine, it happened, I couldn't do it, acknowledge that you couldn't do it. And if it has created some mess, it has created some sort of a inconvenience to them, clear it. And then you work out that next time it doesn't happen. If you have missed out, for example, I have missed out something in planning and I couldn't deliver on a particular day I had promised. Next time I plan in such a way that I don't make that mistake again. This is honoring. You are respecting your word. And I found that very powerful. And I'll tell you why. In one context, I'll again give Swami's example. This was in 3rd June 2003, you might be aware, Swami had a fall and he fractured his hip. And 4th June he was taken to the hospital in Whitefield and operation was done. Now, about a week ago, before that, in the Trayi grounds, before Darshan, Swami had an interaction with Dr. Hegde, who was the that time's the then director of Whitefield Super Speciality Hospital. And he had come and he was standing there. Swami just called him and was talking to him. And during the conversation, Swami, Dr. Hegde mentioned to Bhagawan that his wife is in Bangalore. His daughter, who is in US, is coming sometime next week. Some date, he said. And Swami said, when she comes, you tell me, I will call all three of you for an audience. This is what Swami had told. And then this event happened, 3rd June, the fall, and 4th June, Swami was to be operated. And he was taken to the General Hospital in Whitefield. And this particular incident has happened in what is called as a preparation room, which is next to OT. A patient is prepared there. And once he's prepared and given anesthesia, and then he goes to, or rather, before anesthesia, he goes to the, everything is prepared and moved, and the procedure starts. In that preparation room, of course, all the senior doctors were called to be with Swami. Everybody wanted to be there in case of any sort of a medical advice or help required for that procedure. So Dr. Hegde was also one of them. So in that room, this I have heard from Dr. Hegde himself. So Swami was on the trolley and some doctors around him, about 8 to 9. And Dr. Hegde is one of them. And Dr. Hegde is such a beautiful gentleman. He will never push himself forward. So he was standing little away. If called, he will come. Swami looks at Dr. Hegde and calls. He called him. Come. Dr. Hegde went to near him. And Swami mentioned these words to Dr. Hegde. Hegde, last week I told you that when your daughter comes, I will call you for interview. She might be coming in few days, but I don't think I am in a physical position to call you for interview. I will call next time. Can you imagine this? I think it is physically impossible. In another 10 minutes, if I am going to go for a surgery, can I think about a so-called promise or a word given a few days ago about a personal audience? It's not even a big commercial transaction. Swami mentioned this to Dr. Hegde. That is, I felt, an amazing example of honoring your word. And what this particular, this concept says is, if you honor your word and keep doing it again and again, your word becomes very powerful. And I felt it's so important in Swami's context, because that makes his word, like what they say, what Swami says is truth. Swami lived from his first day he has been lived where he honored his word. So his word becomes a truth. It becomes so powerful, and I can tell you, if you practice even to some extent, you will see that in your own example. Swami's level is somewhere else, we know, but we have to pray for it. But I'm saying, even at our physical level, if we really honor our word, I can tell you from my experience, your word becomes very powerful. They say that if your intention is good, and if you say something, even the whole force of nature will assist you to make that happen. You must have heard this. Many people say that, and many spiritual aspirants say this. If you take one, Swami has said this also in the context of the same super speciality coming up in 1 year. He said that when Colonel Jogarao, who was the project engineer, he was worried in month of May, just 7 months to go, how it will happen. The assurance given by Swami, which is a message for all of us, Swami said these words, Jogarao, ee punya bhumilo, yavarena, okka manchi, I don't know what he said for thought, but manchi sankalpam, I don't know the exact word, manchi sankalpam cheste, tappaka, it'll fructify. I mean, English I can say it better. In this great sacred land of Bharat, any person, Swami said any person, Swami didn't say he, not Swami, any person takes on one pure thought with good intention, be sure that it will happen. This is Swami's assurance for all of us. So in this context, I felt if we really honor our word, respect our word, at Swami adds His grace and our words become powerful. And that word giving can be as simple as maybe starting a session like this, 10:30. If you say 10:30, can I ensure that I start at 10:30? And if I'm going to end at 11:30 latest, I ensure that it ends at 11:30, unless there is a need, then I seek permission. Fine, can I go 5 minutes ahead or back, whatever it is. And I found if we keep this attitude in our achara dharma, in our conduct in the day-to-day life, it really helps. Two ways. It helps in our way of dealing with people, wherever it is, in the family or in the institution, wherever it is. And second thing is, it also helps in sort of, planning our work, or even we become careful of whatever we say and we follow. It puts us into a sort of a healthy watch ourselves. Otherwise, sometimes we just casually say, I'll see. It's not as casual as that. Our words are very powerful. And that, when I heard about this concept in one particular course, I thought, when I applied, I just thought about how Swami is to sort of, his life, if you see as a physical avatar, how he lived. And it was so clear, that's the way he lived all his life. I think I will mention the fourth one. We may not have time to go through that, and then we'll wind up. So this was the third. Third one, I will give you the example which I have told earlier. Third one, which is so important. He says, dharma trains you to be calm, level-headed, secure in equanimity. This example I told you about, that 22nd November 1991, opening of hospital. There is one more episode on the same day which I must share with you. I came to know just about 1 year ago about this thing. One event now that we just spoke about, it was the opening of the super specialty hospital, right? A big event, Prime Minister coming and so many things happening. Can you imagine? I will tell you this, and when I heard this, I couldn't believe somebody can handle situations so beautifully. One very senior professor here who teaches in our college, Professor Gangadhar Shastri, he told me this. I think he is a regular speaker here also. His nephews, if I remember, his sister's children, two sons, Swami had promised in one interview that he will do their Upanayana somewhere in that year. And when a few days before this November, Swami had called them for interview and fixed up a date. Can you imagine? 22nd November 1991 to do Upanayana. And this Professor Gangadhar Shastri himself says, I was just wondering how it will happen. Next day, the function that on that day, 22nd November, there was no function in Mandir that time, Prashantilayam. There was no cyclone hall. The function was there because Swami said from morning he will be in super specialty hospital complex. Prime Minister will come. And evening function, if I remember, was in ground, Hillview Stadium. He said, how it will happen? Upanayanam, and 2 days ago when they arrived, Swami said, you be ready on 22nd morning for Upanayanam. And he said, and Swami said, I will, by the way, when he said ready, he said, you just come, parents, you and your wife and children, everything I will look after. Swami arranged for everything, all the samagri, all the dhoti, kasam, everything for those two boys. On the 22nd November morning, Isin Swami came at 6:45, called them in. 40 minutes he spent with them doing the Upanayanam ceremony. Can you imagine? Another 1 hour, there is going to be a big function in super specialty where Prime Minister is going to come to inaugurate. And obviously Swami at the physical level knew that so many things to be done. He gave his word and he followed it. And the function happened. 40 minutes, Swami gave Mantropadesham, spoke to them, blessed, put the Yajnopavit, asked him to wear the kashayas, everything on 22nd November morning. This I can say is the height of being equanimity. I don't think humanly is possible. For one, a simple example, if I have to come now, I have to take permission for my work and come. I have to plan so many things. I was wondering in the morning, I have to finish this, and I come here for 1 hour break. For such a simple, stupid thing, we have to plan. And Swami was planning a mega hospital inauguration, and at the same time, he took care of every minute thing about the Upanayanam he had promised few months ago. That is Swami. I don't think anybody can think about such example of how to live by His word. So that is one thing, and another 2 minutes we'll wind up. The fourth point, and we'll wind up. So third point, just to repeat, dharma trains you to be calm, level-headed, and secure in equanimity. This is the third. Fourth one, he says, very important, and all of us are aware of this, so I will not spend time on this. Do unto others what you expect others to do unto you. This is one yardstick, Swami said, another yardstick, to if you want to assess whether a particular action is dharmic or not. Do unto others what you wish them to do unto you. And he added, do not do unto others what you do not wish others unto you. And one simple thing he added here, but it makes it very profound, one more sentence which he says is, do not have a double standard. Treat all as your own self. And this is the punchline. I feel this line makes it from Achara Dharma to Atma Dharma. He says, while Achara Dharma is important, if you keep in mind this ultimate thing, that nothing else is different from me. Everything is the same, if I call Sai or I or Self or whatever names people call, if that is the undercurrent, that anything or every person, every being, every object is the same Sai which embodied as our Bhagwan, if we keep that in mind, your Achara Dharma becomes Atma Dharma. He said, if you do that, that is the fructification of your spiritual life. So this is a big topic. I don't want to go into that now. Somebody else can maybe delve on that Atma Dharma. But I don't know whether I could spend enough time on this. But whatever little I could share, I hope all of us, is a learning for me also, for myself, when I just read through what Swami has said and what Swami has given the experience. I hope it will be of some use for each one of us. And we pray to Swami that He gives us strength to put something, whatever He said, Karishye Vachanam Tava, if we give that assurance to Him, your message, we commit ourselves that we will follow your message. If we do that, that is the only Guru Dakshina probably we can offer to Him, for He being our spiritual master. Thank you for your time and for support. Sai Ram.
जपते रहो मन में साई राम,
जपते रहो मन में साई राम,
जपते रहो मन में साई राम,
जपते रहो मन में साई राम।
श्री राम जय जय राम,
श्री राम जय राम, जय जय राम,
श्री राम जय राम, जय जय राम,
श्री राम जय राम, जय जय राम,
जपते रहो मन में साई राम,
जपते रहो मन में साई राम।
तन है तेरा मंदिर साई,
तन है तेरा मंदिर साई,
मन मंदिर का द्वार है,
मन
प्रकट मंदिर में श्री राम जय राम जय जय जपते रहो मन में साई राम
जपते रहो मन में साई राम
श्री राम जय राम जय जय राम
श्री राम जय राम जय जय राम
जपते रहो मन में साई राम जपत रहो मन में साई राम श्री राम जय राम जय जय विश्वनाथ साईनाथ हरे महादेव विश्वनाथ साईनाथ हरे
महादेव
Sainath Hare